590 WKCO. Roger and Derek riding with you on the way home this afternoon. Starting the afternoon off at 47 degrees, and that's, about 10 degrees colder than it was yesterday, but a couple of degrees warmer than it's going to be on Sunday, so it's all relative, isn't it? Before we go any further, we have two pairs of tickets. So two callers will each get a pair of admissions to the Requiem Music of Victoria and Tavener. It's at the First Congregational Church downtown at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And the fourth and fifth callers at 382-4280, 877-382-4280, will each get a pair of tickets. And the only downside, they have to be picked up at our studios at the corner of Northampton and West Main by 4:30 this afternoon. So only call if you can get here to pick up the tickets, because the concert is tomorrow night. Joining me now is Lonnie Scott. Lonnie is from the Progressive Michigan. And good afternoon, Lonnie. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Good.
We're hearing a lot of talk from Governor Engler about how well the economy of Michigan is doing now. And to hear him say, we're the comeback state of the union, and yet I'm seeing unemployment notch up here recently. Are we the comeback state?
You know, I don't think so. I think that the governor and his conservative allies who have been calling us the comeback state really need to come back to reality and look at the world that the rest of us, specifically the middle class in Michigan, are living in. You know, we've seen unemployment go up for the past 3 months, a steady increase. We've ticked back up to 9%. Mm-hmm. We are fourth in the country, highest unemployment rate currently. We've seen wages decrease. You're seeing a decrease in median household income. I mean, there's just a number of different things that show us that while business may be doing better under Governor Snyder, they may be raking in record profits, the middle class and working families in Michigan are certainly not seeing the positive impacts that we've been promised from these laws that have been pushed by Governor Snyder and his administration.
Well, it's interesting. I had Fred Upton, our congressman from Southwest Michigan, in the studio yesterday. And I talked to him about the cutback in the SNAP program that went into effect at midnight, and pointed out that in his district, about $14 million that was used to feed hungry people evaporated at midnight. And asked how we were going to make up for that. And he said, well, we knew when we did the stimulus project that the food support was going to end at this point. But that doesn't mean it wasn't feeding hungry people. How are we going to continue to live with this kind of unemployment rate if we can't get some federal money?
Well, and unfortunately, it's not just the unemployment rate. I mean, there are other policies that have certainly impacted the poor as well, and these SNAP cuts are just another example of the systemic, the systemic reduction in benefits for working families, specifically here in Michigan. And I think what it shows us, Roger, is that the governor likes to portray himself as a moderate. He likes to try and talk about being a moderate Republican. And in reality, all of his policies are exactly in line with the other governors like Scott Walker, Chris Christie, those folks who are seen as extremists. It's just that the governor takes a step back and tries to claim to be a moderate. But what he's really doing is still the same thing that nationally the conservatives are trying to push, and it's really harming the poor and the working class in our state. Another example of that is just Governor Snyder signed a cut to the earned income tax credit that nearly eliminated the earned income tax credit, which was also for those lower income families. And basically that hit single parents with a $363 tax increase. That was back in 2011. So, you know, it's a systemic attack. The governor and his policies, you know, unfortunately aren't trying to help these folks here. So it's just compounded by the fact that nationally we're seeing these SNAP cuts and other attempts to really harm working families in our state.
We're talking with Lonnie Scott, the executive director of Progress Michigan. Lonnie, I've seen some figures here, although I don't have them in front of me recently, that talked about the median household income in Michigan. And when looking at that, we've seen some of the biggest declines in the country.
The biggest decline in the country.
Yeah.
I believe it's 19.1%. 19.1% decrease, and it's certainly accelerated under the Snyder administration. And what that means is that we're making less money. So, you know, we were promised when the governor was elected, and all he keeps talking about is more and better jobs. And I think the question that I wish the media could get him to answer is, where are the more and better jobs? Because all we're seeing are seriously harmful policies that are hurting middle-class families. And they are not producing the jobs that we've been promised, and that shows. And we're also making, you know, we're certainly making less money as a result of that. The middle class is making less money. The income gap, if you will, between those making a little and those making a lot continues to grow. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we at Progress Michigan, you know, we say that the governor needs to come back to reality. Governor Snyder has failed. He has failed miserably at providing those jobs and finding policies that actually impact positively the middle class.
Talk to me about public education. Republicans have been accused of having a war on public education. What's your perspective? Is that a realistic challenge to them?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at the history of Michigan and how we used to invest in education, it's certainly been a systemic process. So, you know, people may look to this year's current budget and say, oh, well, that's not too bad. They put a few dollars back into the education fund. But if you look over the course of the past few years, the Snyder administration has worked to slash higher education funding by 15%. Which has made it a lot harder for young Michiganders to get ahead without taking on, enormous amounts of debt. The other piece of that is public education for school kids. We've seen a cut of about $470 per student. Even though the majority of Michigan, if you ask them, would say that those cuts were not necessary, they wouldn't want them. That's resulted in larger class sizes, less resources. You've seen some schools that have actually shut down because of the cuts to their budgets and to the school aid fund. And, you know, when you get down to the heart of it, the reason that this all happened is because the Snyder administration pushed through a $1.8 billion tax break for big business. And it was paid for by taxing seniors, by taxing senior pensions and cutting money for schools. And to me, that's just the wrong priorities. It's the wrong priorities for our state, and it certainly is a failure of leadership from Governor Snyder.
Let's look to the future. How do you see change coming about? Is there nothing that can be done until the election next November? Is there something that can be done in the interim?
Well, I certainly hope that the public will start to realize the failures of the Snyder administration and will not buy into this fact that we are the comeback state and start to ask for answers. I think that they need to start demanding from Lansing, from their politicians, and certainly from the governor's administration, answers to why these things are happening and letting them know that these are not their priorities. The middle class is the majority here in the state, and we just have to make our voice heard. So I think by keeping talking about it, certainly like shows like this, where you're actually talking about the numbers as they are and not how the governor wants to see them, it definitely helps. And I think the more that people can spread that message and talk to each other about what's really going on in our state, the more pressure we can put on to make some change.
If people want to stay abreast of well, at least a level playing field when it comes to information. How would you suggest people keep up to speed?
Well, I mean, we certainly put out information around the numbers and the way that we see them. So I would encourage folks, they can always check out Progress Michigan's website. That's www.progressmichigan.org. We just put out for Halloween some handouts and some facts and figures that give you the numbers. And so we would encourage folks to do that. And really, Roger, you know, the key here is for people like yourself and those people in the media to really be pushing for answers. You know, the other thing that Governor Snyder is really good at is trying to call himself a businessman or a nerd. And I think when people really look at the answers that he's giving or not giving, all he shows himself to be is really your typical run-of-the-mill politician. And so for media folks like you, holding him accountable and asking him these questions and not letting him get away with just saying it, but actually having to prove it will certainly help.
Okay. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon, Lonnie.
I appreciate the invitation. Thanks so much.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks.
Lonnie Scott, Executive Director of Progress Michigan, and an alternative perspective to the portrayal of Michigan as a comeback state. Unemployment has gone up for 3 months in a row, and Michigan led the country in the decline of the median income of the state, almost 20%. At 590 WKZO, Raj Taylor and Derek helping you get home this afternoon. Derek, who were our winners for the tickets?
Our two winners were Philip and Maggie.
Okay. And they're both going to be here prior to 4:30 to get their free tickets.
Yes.
Okay. That's a good thing. And taking a look at the weather, small craft advisory in effect through tomorrow on Lake Michigan. Waves still around 6 feet, declining to 4 to 5 feet tonight and 3 to 4 feet tomorrow. Finally calming down on Sunday, so that would be a day to try fishing if you want to. It has cooled off a bit, the water temperature at South Haven, 55 degrees. And we got a busy afternoon. Larry Maggot going to join us right after Bob Larson at about 3:45. And we're going to get his thoughts on the brand new iPad Air that was released this morning. I know I got an email from a local electronics company who suggested I could get in line as early as this morning to be there when they opened to get one of those devices. Well, we'll talk to Larry Maggot and find out if one of those devices is worth waiting in line for. Is the new iPad Air a significant step forward from previous generations of the iPad? At 4:10, we're going to talk with CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. We're going to talk about the cuts to the SNAP program that took place at midnight when I was talking with Lonnie Scott a little earlier. Mentioned that in Kalamazoo County alone, there is $4 million less in food stamps or the SNAP program to feed hungry people in Kalamazoo. Now, the SNAP program is a remarkably efficient program, and there is not a lot of abuse. Certainly, there is some. But we're talking about fraud and abuse being something in the 3.5% range, which compared to many programs is remarkably efficient. So that $4 million that evaporated last night at midnight is something that was feeding people. And we'll talk to Bob Fuss and find out how the country is going to cope with the reduction in the SNAP program at a time when there are large numbers of hungry people in this country. And then finally at 4:40, something fun. We'll talk to Mark Phelan. He's the auto critic at for the Detroit Free Press. And we're going to talk about his latest ride he reviewed, and that is a Cadillac. And we'll find out how the Cadillac compared to some of the pocket rockets he had been driving previously. Although in the midst of that, I believe he had a stint with a Corvette that he drove to Minneapolis and back. Well, we'll find out just how this new Cadillac compares to other high-performance cars when we talk to Mark Phelan at about 20 minutes to 5. And that's how we're going to get your weekend going here at 590 WKZO. And taking a look at the WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, mostly cloudy and chillier this afternoon. Winds gradually subsiding along with a shower in spots. Temperatures nearly steady in the upper 40s, and that's where we are. We've got 47 degrees. When I came to work, the bridge over US 131 on West Main Street was in the process of being opened up. And that construction project is winding down. Although I received an email from a listener who said they had talked to MDOT, and the cleanup of that construction site will continue for a week or two. But apparently this afternoon they're opening up all four lanes, two lanes in each direction going over that bridge on West Main Street. But to do that, they were putting in the lane markers and things, and traffic was backed up beyond Drake Road. And I don't have my clairvoyant hat on this afternoon, so I don't know what's going on there right now. But you may want to avoid using West Main Street as your route home this afternoon. If you're out and about and are in the traffic on West Main, give us a call. 382-4280-877-382-4280. Derek at the ready to take a message from you on just how backed up traffic is on West Main. Hopefully, we'll have it cleared by the time we reach the peak of the trip home this afternoon. Raj Taylor and Derek accompanying you home this afternoon. A cloudy day out there, chilly, 47, but this is the warm part of the weekend. It gets colder from here. We got a lot going on this afternoon. Any minute, we're going to talk with AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire Bob Larson. And, of course, it is Geek Friday, and we have completed the month of October. And so we'll look at the year to date as we have 10 months of this year under our belt as of midnight last night. We'll talk to Bob Fuss right after the CBS News and a local news update at the top of the hour. Bob is in Orlando, but we're going to talk to him about the impact of the cut to food stamps or the SNAP program that took place last night. And then in the latter half of the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to Detroit Free Press auto critic Mark Phelan about a new Cadillac. But first, it is Geek Friday, and to fill out Geek Friday, here is Bob Larson. Bob, how you doing?
All right, Roger, how are you?
I'm just fine. My hair is messy. We had a fair amount of wind here.
Yeah, certainly quite windy overnight and the better part of today, no question about it. And that was pretty much common throughout the entire Great Lakes region, even worse to our east.
Ah, so we lucked out, huh?
Yeah, parts of western New York, northwestern Pennsylvania, Ontario had 50 to 60 mile per hour winds, strong enough to cause some damage. Very windy here, no doubt about that, but not as ferocious as what we'd seen east of here.
How did the was the storm intensifying as it moved east?
Yeah, it was. It was intensifying rapidly, as a matter of fact. It really, as we say, wound up, and that created a lot of wind. But it is leaving just as quickly as it moved in, and we say goodbye to the gusty winds. Still be a noticeable breeze at times, but certainly we're near as gusty as what we've just experienced.
Okay. What is our weather word for the day?
Well, the word is reality. It's November now, and after being in the 60s the past couple of days, and after experiencing what has, for the most part, been a mild October, we'll get to the numbers in a moment, it's now the reality of November, which includes colder weather, more persistent cold, and the redefinition of the word mild. Mild in October might mean 65. Mild in November is typically more in the order of 55. So we have to change the equation a little bit, lower the bar in our expectations when it comes to temperatures drop right with that. So having said that, it's colder this weekend. We're already feeling that. It is going to turn milder next week. Touched on that the other day. Well into the 50s. Not sure we get to 60 because of rain that's coming again, but at least well into the 50s by the middle of next week. And then it's right back to colder weather by the end of next week. Next Friday, a week from today, could be especially chilly. Might be a struggle to get highs out of the 30s.
Ooh, we could have snow at those temperatures.
Yeah, there could be some lake effect snow showers to go with it. We'll have to see how the wind gradient sets up, the wind direction and such, but it is going to be a lot colder again.
At my place, got just a skosh over 2 inches of rain as we go into the geekdom here on Friday. What did the airport
little have? Over 2.5, 2.53.
And where does that leave us for the year?
Well, let's talk about the month and the year. We'll get right into the numbers. First, we look at the yearly numbers, first temperature. And as we've been saying all year long, for the most part, 2012, a very mild year, very warm year. 55.8 was the average temperature as of this point of the year. That was about 3.5 degrees warmer than average. This year at 52.2, a tenth of a degree colder than average. So that's a 3.7-degree swing in temperature from last year to this year. But to answer your question about rainfall, even though we did have a wet October last year, the year as a whole was dry. We barely picked over 25.5 inches of rain at this point last year. That is 5.21 inches below average. This year, we stand at 37.63, almost 7 inches above average, after being more than 5 inches below average. So quite a turnaround in rainfall. And for the month as a whole, just looking at October, last October was actually a chilly month, 49.9. That's a degree colder than average. This October, 1.8 degrees above average at 52.7. Rainfall both last October and this October coming in wetter than average. Last year, 4.78. This year, 4.66. So very close. both of those numbers are more than 1 inch wetter than average for the month.
Yeah. Well, and but we had sort of a dry month until yesterday.
Yeah, we did a lot of catching up in the last 48 hours. No doubt about that, because every Friday that we reviewed the month, we talked about this being a dry month. Dry month. Interesting, we ended up with a wetter than average month.
That's why we have to do this on a daily basis, Bob.
Got to keep up with it.
Weather changes.
Right.
thanks, Bob. Have yourself a good weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday afternoon.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, Roger.
Thanks. 590 WKZO time is 3:45. We're going to be talking with Larry Magid here and get his view of the new iPad Air. And it was released yesterday. Nope, this morning. This morning. And we're going to find out from him if it's something you need to have for yourself to play with. Is it a step in a different direction for iPads, or is it just an improved version? We'll find out coming right up. 47 degrees at 3:47, and joining us now, CBS technology guru Larry Magid. Larry, how are you? Oops, one more button. There we go. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. It sounds like a Verizon advertisement.
Yeah, I know. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Just got back from Indonesia for the Internet Governance Forum. I say Indonesia because I was actually in Bali, which is part of Indonesia. But when I say Bali, people get jealous.
Yeah, that's tough work. And they actually pay you to do this, huh?
Yeah, no, it really was a serious conference.
Well, good.
But it was in Bali.
Good.
Yeah.
Let's get your thoughts on the new iPad Air that was became available today.
Today, it's everything I want to be. It's thinner, it's lighter, it's faster, and it's more powerful. So if only Apple could figure out a way to make me all of those things, I'd be really happy. But look, it's an incremental improvement on an already very good product. I've never heard anybody complaining that the iPad is really too slow, and now it's faster. I have had some complaints about the iPad being a little too heavy when you're sitting there reading for a long period of time, holding it in your hand. Lighter is definitely better. So they managed to shave off 0.4 ounces. They got it down to a pound, which is pretty remarkable that there was that much room to lighten it up. And they made it really wafer thin. So Apple now has the bragging rights, I believe, of the lightest and probably thinnest full-size tablet on the market, which is pretty cool. But I personally own an iPad mini because I like light and small, and this is now light and thin. It's still bigger. If you like the bigger screen, it's great.
Will there be an iPad mini Air?
Yes. Well, they won't call it the Air, I don't think. In fact, I know they won't, at least not initially. The iPad mini, the Air, by the way, is a takeoff on the MacBook Air, Apple's very lightweight laptop, which I love. That's the laptop that I travel with. The iPad mini is already pretty thin and light. What they did with the mini is they upgraded it to a Retina display, so it's got a much crisper, higher resolution display, and it comes out next month. But okay. The regular iPad Air, they're calling it now, came out today. It's
right.
Available at your Apple store. I don't know if there are lines in front of your store. There were a little bit of lines in front of the store where I live.
I got an email from a local electronics company who said that at 8 o'clock this morning there were some people in line. And they were encouraging everybody to come out early and get in line.
I had a friend who emailed me at 7 o'clock this morning here in Palo Alto. And he said there were about 20 people in line, which is a lot fewer than you line up for iPhones. But that makes sense. I mean, the iPad, it's a good product, but I don't think it's something that is so incredible that, you know, I would have gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning for it.
Yeah. The first iPad, maybe. But
now... Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That was revolutionary. It was an amazing product. And this is a better product, but it was, you know, that was several years ago when we hadn't seen anything like it. But before that.
Larry, as these devices get smaller and thinner and lighter weight, are they more prone to damage? Are they any more fragile?
Yeah. Well, it's a good question. I think Apple is pretty good about building the components. I can't recall what these things are made of. It may be magnesium. Certainly the screen is no more vulnerable because the screen is going to be glass no matter what. But at some point, I suppose you do take a risk. But that's part of the design consideration. And I haven't heard any serious problems with any Apple products lately being particularly vulnerable to breakage. Obviously, anything can break if you sit on it, drop it. I managed to break the screen on my iPhone by leaving it in my bed. And as I was changing clothes, I tossed my belt on the bed, and the buckle hit the screen and cracked it. So
just exactly
kind of
the wrong
accident, could happen.
Yeah, just exactly the wrong place. Huh?
Exactly. But on the other hand, I've dropped my phone a couple of times, and it hasn't broken, so that's good news.
Yeah. Where do you think demand for this is going to go? Is it going to be a must-have item, or are people?
You know, I think for some people, but I think the difference is now there's so many good tablets in the market. You know, there's a lot of Android tablets that are quite good. I have a Nexus 7, which competes with the iPad Mini. It's actually thinner less wide than the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's any thinner, but I really like it. And I have an iPad Mini, as I mentioned. And, you know, you go to the store today, and you got a lot of choices. So I don't think this is going to be a huge hit. I think it's going to be a hit. And, Apple's already sold, 176 million iPads. So clearly they've established themselves. But I don't think that this is one of those things where, for example, if you had the existing iPad, you're going to say, oh, my God, I'm missing out on something wonderful. I got to upgrade. Because, after all, you can still upgrade to the latest operating system on the previous version of the iPad, which is really mostly how an iPad is different, right? I mean, all it is a slate of glass. And so this one's a little lighter and thinner and faster, but it doesn't do anything that the existing iPad doesn't already do. It's got some better components, 2 microphones for better audio. I think they've improved the camera. But, you know, if you have the existing high-end product, I personally wouldn't spend $500. I don't think there's $500 worth of difference between the existing one and the new one.
How is this going to impact the Android Apple competition?
Yeah. Well, it helps Apple. I mean, it gives Apple some bragging rights. Apple, the problem that Apple has, so can they innovate, and then all the competitors immediately not only match them, but sometimes beat them, in terms of better specs. And then they're a little bit behind. And so Apple was a little bit behind, because some of these Android tablets not only were thinner and had better screens or as good a screen, they were typically cheaper and also maybe came with more memory or came with an optional SD memory card, which means you can stick 64 gigabytes in there for very little money.
Mm-hmm.
And so Apple was behind the curve, and they're still more expensive, no question about it. And you still pay for everything with Apple. If you want memory, you have to be, it's usually $100 per gigabyte. And if you want to pay for the Wi-Fi, the 3G, that's more. I think I read you could spend like over $900 on an iPad if you get a fully blown out one. So from a price standpoint, Apple is still more expensive, and I think a lot of people this holiday are going to look at the prices and say, well, I'm going with the less expensive one. But if you're buying a gift for somebody, be careful. That bargain may not be a bargain if the person doesn't like it. So if you know somebody and they have their heart set on an iPad, you get them an Android or vice versa, they may not be as happy as you might want them to be. So
sure.
Do be sensitive to that. Maybe you're better off not buying them that tablet and waiting till you get the money for the one they really want.
Yeah, yeah. And so the new iPad Mini comes out next month.
Yeah, that comes out next month. And that's going to look a lot like the old iPad Mini, except for the higher resolution screen. And I have to tell you, I had an interesting conversation with somebody about this. And I was saying, I've got the iPad Mini, and I've never really had a problem with the screen. He said, oh, no, the other one's much better. And, maybe it is. I'm sure it is. But, as I said, I don't have a problem with a regular screen on my iPad. It's high resolution enough for what I do. But I don't spend a lot of time on it. I mostly use it to read books and watch video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm still a keyboard guy. Give me a laptop with a keyboard and I'm much more productive.
I have come to that conclusion that I'm actually more comfortable on a regular PC with a keyboard and a mouse.
Yep.
But,
well, I'll even tell you, you know, even for watching movies, I often, and again, the MacBook Air, you know, Apple shouldn't complain. I mean, it's apples to apples. The MacBook Air not only is a great laptop, but I watch movies on it. I mean, yeah, you know, the battery lasts a long time. I like the fact that it's I like the clamshell form factor of a notebook. That just, mm-hmm. It's just, I can stick it on my lap, and or in bed, I can stick it on my chest, and, it kind of works. I don't mind it at all.
Yeah.
I put a pillow under it so I don't get radiated by the thing. I'm joking. I don't think you get radiated.
Well, that,
I do anyway.
And the lead vest you wear, I'm certain.
Well, and not to mention the lead underwear. Don't forget that.
Oh, yeah.
Except
yeah.
for I'm past that. I've already got my two kids, so I don't need to worry about that.
thanks, Larry. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us.
I think I can say that on the radio. I think we're okay.
Yeah,
I think
we're
so
okay. Have a good weekend.
All right.
CBS,
take care, you too.
CBS News technical correspondent Larry Magid, and he was out playing around with the new iPad today. It's thinner, it's lighter, it's faster, and it's expensive.
Higher price.
Continued deterioration in housing.
Kalamazoo News, every morning with Kalamazoo's Morning News on 590 WKZO.
.358, 47 degrees. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Mostly cloudy and chillier this afternoon. Winds gradually subsiding. A shower or two in some spots. I encountered some drizzle earlier this afternoon. Temperatures nearly steady in the upper 40s to near 50. Mostly cloudy and brisk. Chilly tonight, a low of 40. Mostly cloudy and chilly tomorrow, a couple of showers and a high 47. Sunday's outlook, partly sunny, still chilly and a high of 45. We've got 47 degrees in Kalamazoo. Coming up in the next hour, going to talk to Bob Fuss about the end, at least a cutback in the SNAP program that took effect at midnight last night. To Kalamazoo County alone, this means a $4 million cut in aid to feed people who are food insecure. But the impact is being felt all across the nation. And we'll talk to Bob Fuss and get an idea of what is the reaction to the country and the scaling back of the food stamp program. And if there'll be additional cuts as we work our way through a farm bill, we may actually see greater cuts to the SNAP program. And then we're going to talk to Mark Phelan about cars, something fun. WKZO time.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.
4 o'clock.